Friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our blessed Lord. I would like to share with you again the words of the Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 21. We have the whole incident of arranging for that donkey to ride into the city of Jerusalem. And then Matthew notes that this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." And the disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." This is God's word. Please be seated. Once upon a time, a very, very long time ago, there was a king who was gifted and wealthy and wise. This king was especially gifted at music, and he loved to compose music and to play music on his harp and to give praises to God. He won battles and he conquered enemies, and he had everything you could possibly want in this world and a whole lot more. But this king also had a son. Actually, he had several sons, but this one son of his stood out above all of the others because this son was handsome beyond all of the other young men of the kingdom. From the soles of his feet to the crown of his gorgeous head, there was not so much as a blemish upon him. The hair of his head was full and it was thick, but the thoughts inside of his head were wicked and devious. He murdered his own brother, and he had to flee from his father, the king, leaving the king weeping in pain over the brokenness that had come into his family. And yet the king loved his rebellious son, and in time he called for his son to return to the royal city, and the son accepted his father's gracious invitation. And you would think that the graciousness of his father, the king, would have changed the heart of his son. But no, not the son. His thoughts were now more evil than ever. This son of the king camped for 4 years at the gates of the royal city, and he wooed the people with his charm. With all of the savvy of a politician, he heard the complaints of the people and he promised them all kinds of solutions, while at the same time he maligned his father as a heartless king who no longer cared about the needs of the people. And in time he won the hearts of the people, until after 4 years of this, he finally revealed his secret plan. And he said to the people, "When you hear the sound of the trumpet, then say, Absalom is king." The message got back to King David. The hearts of the men of Jerusalem have turned to Absalom. And so David said to his servants, "Then let us arise, or else there will be no escape for us from Absalom." And so David fled from Jerusalem across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives and beyond, evading a confrontation with his rebellious, betraying son. And as he went, he wept bitterly. He beat a hasty retreat in such a hurry that he didn't even put shoes on his feet. He left barefooted and so afraid of being recognized that he covered over his head. Does that story sound familiar to you? Even if you've forgotten the exact details of Absalom's rebellion against his father, King David, the story might have a familiar ring to you, because really it's our story too. As King David evades trouble, And he looks for ways to flee from conflict and the brokenness that has come into his family and relationships. As he does that, as he crosses the Kidron Valley, escaping, he represents all of us who, frankly, have also become masters at evading our issues and dodging the brokenness that sin so often brings into our lives. I'll just give you a few examples. A marriage relationship starts to fall apart. And rather than dealing with the real issues that are coming between them, a husband flees into the arms of another woman, or the wife flees to the divorce lawyer to begin proceedings, because it's easier to surrender to the issues than to solve them. Adults will offend each other, step on each other's toes, they will have a disagreement, and rather than working things out between them, they will stay mad at each other for years, they will avoid each other, they will hold grudges, they will bear ill will toward one another, because resentment is easier than reconciliation. We get ourselves deep into credit card debt, and rather than confronting the real issue in us, our greedy hearts, we evade the issue as we continue to spend and make the minimum payments or transfer the debt from one place to another or declare bankruptcy, because it is just plain easier to flee in the face of Satan's ways than it is to face them. King David is fleeing. He who once killed lions and bears with his own hands, he who brought down a giant with a slingshot, he who conquered nations, is now on the run. It's pathetic. But then again, so are we when we cave in to the enemy and when we give sin a foothold in our lives. Happily for us, this same scene of a king making his way across the Kidron Valley would play out again 1,000 years later in exactly the same location, only this time it's as though the reel is in reverse. David crossed the Kidron Valley heading east, out of town. And an onlooker might have said, "Behold, your king is coming, your king is fleeing. He is running away, evading his problems." But when Messiah comes, the son of David, he crosses the Kidron Valley going the other direction. He's going west into town. And the words of Isaiah are true. "Behold, your king is not running. Your king is coming to you. King David fled, but King David's son is coming. And he comes to do what King David could not do, and what you and I are so poor at doing. He comes to confront our problems, not to cower. He comes to invade Satan's kingdom, not to evade it. He comes to deal with our sins, not to surrender to them." David said, "Let's get out of here, or evil may have its way with us, and we will certainly die." Despite all that he could do and all that we can do, there is still one thing we cannot do. We cannot break the power of sin and death and Satan. But our Lord says, "I am going in. I am going in even though evil will have its way with me, and even though I will surely die." And in he went. And even with both of his hands nailed to a cross, he dealt the death blow to sin. And the strategy was nothing short of brilliant, divinely brilliant. The people could not conquer sin and Satan. So he said, "I will simply pay the price for them of their sins, and I will forgive them." Now what can Satan do? For him, it was the worst of all possible scenarios. There in that same city where David had once fled from him, David's son now confronts him. And Satan strikes hard at the Messiah's heel. Oh yes, inflicting terrible agony and severe wounds and suffering. But the Messiah then turns around and with his heel he crushes the head of the serpent in utter defeat as he rises from the dead. You know, I don't know what issues you might be dealing with in your life, what brokenness you might be experiencing in relationships, what you might be running away from, but it's time to stop. Let there be no more surrender in your life to Satan and his wiles and his ways. No more evading the brokenness that sin brings into this world and into your life. We follow Christ, not David. We are conquerors, not cowards. Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, even as you lay hold of the eternal life to which you have been called. To lay hold of eternal life does not just affect the way you're going to live your life in eternity. Laying hold of eternal life is all about how you're going to live your life right now. Facing and fighting the enemy in the strength of Christ's love, in the power of his word and gospel, and shielded by your faith. Husbands and wives, who no longer are evading the brokenness that is encroaching into their relationship, but now they're invading the kingdom of darkness, and they are tearing down the gates of hell as they work together in love for each other upon their issues and settle them and forgive each other. People who bear these old grudges, finally finding the strength to break through their pride and to seek reconciliation in the bonds of peace. A little story about a man named Brennius Oosterhoff, a Norwegian Lutheran from guess where? Where do all Norwegian Lutherans live? Just about Minnesota. He says that B.C., before Christ in his life, he always struggled with homosexuality. He says, and I quote him, "I lived as a gay, I wanted to be straight, and I finally got married, but I was never faithful." He hid this lifestyle from his wife for years, until finally he couldn't keep it in anymore. One day he told her, and she was amazing. She said that she still loved him, that she forgave him, and would he be willing to go get some Christian counseling? He agreed, and after a considerable period of time in counseling, Christ laid hold of Brennius Oosterhoff and made him a new creation. The old was gone, the new had come, and it's not that Brennius never struggled with the issue anymore, but at least he didn't flee from his issues and from the brokenness that sin had brought into his life. He and his wife faced those things head on. And they went to battle against the enemy, and they conquered in the strength of Christ. King David is fleeing, but behold, your king is coming. And we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In the name of our Savior, amen. My friends, may the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.